Brother Barry. Take your Bibles, please. Turn with us to the book of Revelation, 13th chapter. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. Verse number 1, 13, chapter 13, verse number 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Let us pray. Father, again we want to thank you for what you've revealed to us in your word. And Lord, certainly help it to bear witness with our hearts the great need of the hour. Lord, that we're coming close to those end days. And Father, Lord, we believe you're soon to come. And Father, if you give us more time before you do come, Lord, help us to be diligent. And Lord, help us to be faithful to you. And Lord, to do the work that you've appointed us to do. And once again tonight, this preacher needs your power, needs your wisdom. And Lord, I ask you for it. In the wonderful name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Chapter 13 is one of the key chapters, I believe, of the book of Revelation. What it does is it describes the rise of two very, very ungodly men. And those men will play an important role throughout the rest of the book of Revelation. And when I say ungodly, I think you can understand God calls them a beast. And the word beast there speaks of a wild beast. Someone very, very ungodly. When you come to these two men in the book of in chapter 13, you're coming to a climax of a list of men down through the years, leadership men who have been Satan's men, that's been used of Satan, but there's never been any men just like these. They're going to be something special. We had back in the Old Testament, you had Nimrod. We've had people like Nero, wicked people, wicked leaders. Most of you are familiar with Stalin, very wicked, wicked man. Mussolini was a very, very wicked man. Hitler, of course, very, very wicked. Saddam Hussein, wickedness. Just simply to the point where he doesn't even care about human life. Most of these men don't. Milosevic, over in Yugoslavia, is also on the same character of these people, killing the people over in Kosovo. And what I'm saying to you is, down through the centuries, and we could name all kinds of them, down through the centuries, we have men who've been used by Satan. But here we come upon these men whom God refers to and gives time in his word concerning. As I said, he calls them beast. In fact, he calls them wild beast. Both of these men, as we'll find in chapter 13, receive their power from Satan. That's where they get their power. Now, we know that all men that are wicked certainly get a sense of power from Satan, but not like these men. These men are absolutely given complete power, and the Bible makes it clear that he, Satan, is the one that gives it to them. We find also during this time that Satan is pulling out all stops. We had just studied in chapter number 12, he's pulling out all stops in his attempt to destroy the work of God and the saints of God. He knows he has but a short time. That's what the scriptures teach us. And he's going to do everything he can during the tribulation period, and especially the last half of the tribulation period, the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period, to destroy the work of God and the saints of God. Now, we've mentioned before, we'll just mention it lightly. He hates the work of God. Don't you ever forget that. Please don't ever forget it. Keep it on your mind constantly. Satan hates the work of God. And he hates God's people. Doesn't care what he does to you. Makes no difference to him. He cares not. See, all he's doing is he's after God's work and God's people. He wants to defeat God. So again, I'm saying to you, I'm reminding you of that wonderful truth. Keep that in your mind at all times as you work the work of the Lord. Satan hates the work of the Lord. Now, the first of these two beasts that we have mentioned here, which is in verse number 1, we also met him over in chapter 11, verse number 7. If you remember in dealing with the two witnesses, we find in verse 7, and when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. He's telling us about who it is that kills the two witnesses here. Over here in chapter 13, what we're seeing is we're seeing the actual rise of this man. This coincides as far as the timing is concerned, because if you'll notice, the two witnesses are killed. They have 3.5 more years. It tells us after that the beast has 3.5 more years. We see him rise here in chapter 13, verse number 1. He has been mentioned often in prophetic scripture. All through the Bible, he is mentioned, and he's called by different names. Daniel called him the prince that shall come. I think we read about that, the prince that shall come. Isaiah calls him the wicked, or it means they're the wicked one. We find that Christ himself referred to him as the abomination of desolation. And we find, of course, the apostle Paul called him the man of sin, the son of perdition, the son of waste, the son of ruin. That's what the Apostle Paul called him. I'm going to go back to that portion of Scripture in the book of 2 Thessalonians for a few moments. The second chapter. Second Thessalonians, the second chapter. You're familiar with this, but we want to go over it because the Apostle Paul, as I said, calls him that one who's going to rise, the one we're talking about tonight, the beast. He calls him the man of sin, the son of perdition. And I'll read the words, the verses where he says that. But we'll start in verse number 3, chapter 2, Second Thessalonians. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, I'm going to just take a moment or two. Hold your place there after we've read that one verse of Scripture. But go with us over to 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. Paul told us, of course, it's God telling us. It's an inspired word of God. And he told us in verse number 3 that day should not come except there be a falling away first. Now over in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, he said in verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. And he told Timothy, he said, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Basically, what he was saying there, and I think you understand that, Timothy, you just preach the word whether anyone likes it or not. And that's what he's saying. You just do it in season, out of season, when it's popular, when it isn't popular. Okay? Doesn't make a difference. You preach the word of God. And then he says in verse number 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now, I know that probably that has been seen all down through the years. But let me say to you, in America, we are seeing it. And I mean we are seeing it. It is everywhere. We are seeing people who wants to be have their ears tickled. Do you hear me? They want their ears tickled. They do not want the true doctrine of the Word of God preached. And this is where he talked about in Thessalonians about there'll be a falling away. There is a falling away right here in America. Falling away from the truth of the Bible, the Word of God. And you'd be surprised at those who are falling away. See, sometimes we want to look down the road somewhere and maybe some real liberal church somewhere, but we independent Baptists better take a little bit of a look inside our doors. Amen? And you see, he wasn't just talking about the liberal Catholics or someone like this. He was talking about we independent Baptists too. And there's folks within the ranks of the churches of the independent Baptists that do not believe the truth of the Bible, the Word of God. And they don't want to hear the preaching of the Word of God. They despise it. They do not want it. So I'm saying to you, there is a falling away. Now, I say on the other side, thank God there is a lot that do. Thank God there's men and women and boys and girls who love the Bible and want to hear it preached. So I thank God for those. But anyway, in Thessalonians, he says in verse number 4, and he goes on talking about this man of sin revealed, the son of perdition. He says, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. The reason I'm taking us over to this is the man here, the beast that we see, which he is a man, the scripture tells us, he is a man. In chapter 13, he'll even say it's a number of a man. He is the one who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God. This verse 1 here is describing this beast. Over here in verse number 4, we're talking about the very same individual. And he says, and he wants to be worshipped. Of course, it's Satan that wants to be worshipped, but Satan gives his power to this beast. And then you notice in that he says, God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That is going to happen. And that's going to happen in Israel, in the temple that's rebuilt in Israel, more than likely right around the time that we're studying here in the Bible, right around the 3.5 years, he then sets himself up as God in the temple of God. This man in chapter 13 that we're talking about is the same man that we find over here in 2 Thessalonians, okay? So you will realize the wickedness of him. I'm going to do a lot of kind of background teaching tonight. I think that's important. I don't believe that we can ever study the book of Revelation without giving much attention to the book of Daniel. So we have to do that. We have to lay some groundwork. And that's basically what we're going to do about this man here, this beast that rises up out of the sea. Then in verse 5 he says, remember ye not that when I was with you I told you these things? Know ye not what withholdeth that he might be revealed in this time? For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. The Holy Spirit of God right now is restraining Satan from his full authority, full power to be turned loose on this earth. Thank God for the sweet Holy Spirit of God that lives in each one of us. Thank God. He is the only, he's the only one who is restraining evil today. See, that's why during tribulation period, that restraint is going to be withdrawn. I don't believe the Holy Spirit's completely going to leave the earth because there's still people getting saved, and we need the conviction of the Holy Spirit to get saved, and the 144,000 will be there, but his restraining power will be withdrawn. And Satan will be allowed to do things that he's never been allowed to do. So he says in verse 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. That's the Antichrist. That's the beast. That's the one we're talking about in chapter 13, verse number 1. And Christ, of course, is going to destroy him. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all powers and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this and for this cause God shall send them strong delusions, that they should believe a lie, or the lie, which is Satan, is the lie, and the lie he brings is the beast, and all that he does is a lie, and they're going to believe him. See, that's the thing that you and I maybe probably have a little trouble understanding. But folks, if you'll look around you right now, if you will look at the multitudes that are being deceived by liberalism and by the New Age movement, it will absolutely surprise you. They tell me that over 60 million Americans are involved in the New Age movement in some way. In some way. In other words, they have the beliefs of the New Age movement. It's big in America. And so what I'm saying is they're going to be deceived. See, Satan is deceiving people right today. And many of these people think they're right. You see, what we don't understand is they think they're doing God a favor by killing Christians. They think they are doing God a favor. They are so caught up and deceived. That's why the New Age movement, I didn't intend to get off on that, but that New Age movement is so dangerous, because if you read its tenets and all that it believes, what it is saying, and the people who are behind it, the ones that are pushing it, constantly are saying this: the fundamental Christians must be done away with. Now that is the voice that they are carrying. And they are saying it and spreading that. We are the enemies. Not just the liberal Christian. No, the fundamental Christians, they say, is something that has to be purged from this earth. And I want to say amen to that. Because one of these days he's going to purge us and take us home in the rapture. But that's not what they're talking about. They're talking about the fact that we need to be killed. We need to be stopped at all costs. Now that sounds a little wild to you right now, because you're living in America, you've got a lot of freedom. But I say to you, look out. If you will just have a little bit of understanding and get a look at what's been going on in America for the last 10, 15 years, and how the freedoms we are losing, and the way that most people view fundamental Christianity today, it won't surprise you that thing's going to get worse and worse. Because a lot of people look at us as nuts. See, we ought to be out here, we supposedly ought to be out here going along with all the crowd and, join in with all the ecumenical movement, do all of those things, join in with them. We ought to just be at peace with everyone. It's not what the Bible says. You don't get unity at the expense of truth. Never, never, never. Pastor Jerry made a good statement the other day. We was talking about what's going on in Jacksonville, Indiana, with the assistant pastor of the Assembly of God up here. His name is Mr. Cornerstone. He started all kinds of liberal programs in this community. He now has a Christian rock group that meets and they sing, and he's inviting people to the meetings where all the walls have been torn down. No walls. And what Pastor Jerry said, he made a good statement. He said, the church has not wretched the teenagers. The teenagers have wretched the church. The teenagers are changing the church. The church is not changing the teenagers. In other words, the church is becoming what the teenagers want them to become. And see, what we've got to understand, we can never go off of this stand on the Bible, the Word of God, at any area. Don't make any difference. And if you will follow, see, I would be considered a nut by getting up here and talking about someone who's trying to lead Jacksonville into the liberalism. And they are. And getting by with it. And let me say to you, most of the people around Jacksonville thinks they're wonderful people, because they're doing all of these things. We had a situation where Mayor Clark, and I think Mayor Clark is a fine man. I appreciate him so much. I believe he has a good testimony. He's trying to help Jacksonville. But Mayor Clark, they've started some kind of organization of trying to help the town of Jacksonville, help the youth of this town. But the problem is this. It's right. We should help them. But there's only one way to help them. Christ is the answer. Now, everybody wants to go around and say, well, we have this program for them and that program. That's not going to work. It hasn't worked in New York City. It hasn't worked in any of the other cities. It only works when Christ is involved in it. You get them to Jesus. That is the answer. That's what changed my life, not some program. And we've got to understand that as an independent fundamental church, we're not just spending time on this simply because I'm wanting to look down on anybody. I want to warn you is why I'm spending time on it. We're not liberals here, and we're not going to be. Now, that doesn't mean that we're everything we ought to be, but we're not going to go away from the Bible, and we're not going to join with liberalism. We're not going to do that. And there's plenty of that liberalism around, and it'll get worse and worse. So what I'm saying is that New Age movement is not going to stop. It's going to grow stronger and stronger and stronger, and it's going to affect the thinking of multitudes of people, which it already has, and it's even getting into the thinking of the churches. Now, when you think about your activities and my activities, what should be the primary goal of our activities? Does it glorify Jesus Christ? If it doesn't, get rid of it. How will it help the cause of Christ? If you spend time in an activity and it doesn't help you to be better for God, then what good is that activity? You mark it down. That's the purpose. That's the whole goal of Christianity. That's what happens when Christ comes into our heart. And we need to gauge our activities by that. Don't let anybody fool you. There's all kinds of people, independent Baptist people, that want to go out here and do things whose activities do not help the cause of Christ. But don't you get caught up in it. Don't you be a part of it. Let them go their way. You do things that will honor and glorify Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, back to 2 Thessalonians. And he says, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And there again, we're not going to spend a lot of time on that, but they didn't believe the truth. We've got to present the truth. Now, folks, if I'm telling you something that is untrue, if I tell you that Jesus Christ is not who he said it is, you ought to rise up in indignation. But you ought to know the truth. And when these liberals get off on these things that are not truth, you ought to have enough good spiritual sense about you to rise up against it and stand against it. Amen. Don't be afraid to stand. God expects you to. Amen. All right, let's go back now to the book of Revelation. The second beast is found in chapter 13, verse 11 and 12. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon, and he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Now, we're not going to spend time on that. I just simply wanted to mention to you there is two beasts mentioned in the chapter 13. There are two men who they are. They're wicked men, and both of these men get their power from Satan. Okay? Now, I want to go over to the book of 1 John. Second chapter of 1 John. Speaking of the Antichrist, and let me just say to you, the Antichrist, which you've heard of many times, referred to, the Bible speaks of that word and uses that word also. The Antichrist is the same one that we've just read about in chapter 13, verse 1. That is the beast that arises out of the sea. Now, in 1 John, the second chapter, verse 18, here's what John says. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that the Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Do you know John was saying over 1900 years ago that it's the last times? He said it's the last times now. He's not talking about the Antichrist had come, but he says there is many Antichrist. There's always been those who have stood against Christ. stood against what the Bible said and what Jesus Christ represents. There's always been those, and there always will be. That's why, and I don't know if I get the job done or not, but it's so important to me to get you settled in the doctrine of the Bible, the Word of God. If I do that, you won't be blown around by every wind of doctrine. You will understand. You will know what the Bible says. And not because the preacher says it, but because you believe it. You see it in the Bible. You know it's true. And not just because I say it, but you'll say amen because that's what the Bible says. And you'll be founded on the Word of God. And that is so important because there is all kinds of antichrist out there. There's all kinds of people deceived. Do you know that the Jehovah's Witness and the Mormons many times claims that many of their converts are from Baptist churches? Do you know that? You know why that is? Many of the Baptists are not settled in doctrine. They're just people in a church. They're not saved or they would never go. They could never follow Jehovah's Witness or Mormon doctrine if you're born again. You never could do it. It's impossible. And the reason they're so easy led astray is because of the fact they don't know their Bibles. They don't know the Word of God. They don't believe the Bible. So I'm saying to you, you need to know the Bible. You need to know what you believe. Amen? Good to hear the teaching of the preacher. Good to do that. Listen to it. But get it settled in your heart because the Bible says it, not just because I say it. Amen? And that's important. And then in 1 John, the second chapter, look at verse number 22, please. It said, "Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son." Now, that seems to be, well, let me read verse number 23. "Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also." Now, that seems to be, you know, very simple. And you'll say, well, Brother Ross, I met many people, they believe in Jesus Christ. But do they? Is it just a head belief? And not only that is, what do they believe about him? Multitudes, if you will talk to multitudes, you'll see them say, oh, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Sure, amen. But they don't believe in Jesus because they must believe he is the Christ, the anointed one of God, that God sent. In other words, he is God, the Son. You must believe that. And multitudes of people do not believe that, even though they've got some type of religion that gives them a little bit of idea that they believe about Jesus Christ, but they do not believe in him. They don't believe who he is. And that's how you need to nail them down. I told you the story, and I won't do it lengthy. I'll just do it real shortly. When the Moonies up here in town, years and years and years ago, I picked one up out on the road out here and got down the road and found out that's who he was. So I pulled over to the side of the road. I didn't figure God wanted me to help him get in town. But I pulled over to the side of the road and began to talk to him and ask him who he was and what he believed and all. I said, "Do you believe in Jesus Christ?" "Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure I do." See, they're going to give you the answers, but then when I pinned him down, "Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and he's God the Son? And do you believe he's the only Messiah?" He backed off and said, "Well, Reverend Moon is one of the Messiahs." So what I'm saying is, if you don't pin them down, they're going to make you believe, yeah, they believe in Jesus. But they don't believe in the Jesus of the Bible. You see. And I think I told you, I let him out and told him I wouldn't take him any farther. I wasn't going to bid him Godspeed. And he got up into town some way, and he's standing out in front of the IGA store selling his little poppies, flowers or whatever they was. I went out and stood beside him. And everybody that came out, I told him who he was. I said, "If I was you," I didn't tell him what to do. I said, "If I was you," I'm Pastor Ross, pastor of Blessed Oak Baptist Church here in Jasonville, Indiana. And I said, "If I was you, I wouldn't buy this. This is one of the Moonites. They're a false cult. They're trying to get your money." And I said, "I realize that's your business, what you decide to do." I didn't have one person buy any. He finally went on out of town, walked on out of town. But what I'm simply saying is, folks, I'm just simply saying, if you don't be careful, you'll be taken in by this by just people who say, "Sure, I believe in Jesus." You see, you've got to believe who he is. Amen? Now, in chapter 4 of 1 John, verse number 1, said, "Beloved, believe not every spirit." And that's, again, what I've just told you about. He says, "Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world." And he says, "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already it is in the world." The spirit of Antichrist, he says, they profess not that Jesus has come in the flesh. Now, if you would ask them, you've got to understand what God is saying here. If you would ask them, you think Jesus ever lived on the earth in the flesh? They'd say, well, sure he did. But he's saying more than that. He's saying, come in the flesh. In other words, God came in the flesh. He's God, the Son of God. And you've got to believe that. And if they don't believe that, who he is, then they're not of God. They're an antichrist. So there's multitudes of antichrists in this old world, and they're doing terrible damage out here in communities because of their false teachings. And people are believing them and being led astray. That's why we independent, we don't, when I say independent, fundamental Christians, Baptists, we don't take the fact that any religion works. There's only one that works. And that's if you've come to Jesus Christ as personal Savior. I'm not talking about denomination. I'm just talking about you must believe in Jesus. You can't get to heaven any other way. Care who you are, what your name tag is. You see, we don't join in with the liberals. I'm not going to join in with the liberals. I'm not going to be a part of that. I never have, and I'm never going to. God help me. If I do, kill me, please, God. I'm saying that smart-alecky. I mean it. I'd rather him kill me than ever get hooked up with the liberal crowd. And I don't want you hooked up with the liberal crowd either. Amen. You just keep standing on the Bible, believe in the Word of God, believe what it says, and just stand on. One more verse of Scripture concerning that over in the book of Matthew, our wonderful Lord and Savior, in chapter 24 of Matthew. I want to read it to you. 24th chapter of Matthew. He is talking here during even the tribulation time, but we want to take this and understand what is happening. In verse number 23, he says, "Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore they say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert. Go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers. Believe it not." There's always going to be false prophets. And you've got to understand that this man, this beast, this Antichrist, is going to be able to perform tremendous miracles. Tremendous miracles. Call fire down from heaven. We see this in the book of Revelation. Now, folks, that's what people is looking for. And they're going to be deceived by it. They don't want just the Bible, the Word of God. They're looking for miracles. Guarantee you, if someone come in this town and said, boy, this coming Sunday, I'm going to call fire down from heaven, a lot of churches would be empty. They'd be over there seeing what happened. Because they're looking for those kind of things. I can't remember the whole details, but down here in Midland, a few years back, some woman saw some kind of vision or something on her house or in her window. Now, some of you remember that? They flocked down there to see that. Why? Why would you go see that? It's all false. But you see, that was a little small thing. But can you imagine the deception when a man is going to be able to perform miracles? Call fire down from heaven. They're going to be deceived by it. They're going to believe it. And they're going to be caught up in it. That's why he's going to deceive the multitude. So back in verse in the book of Revelation chapter 13, he says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy." Now, I don't have time tonight to do all that needs to be done to this. So I'm basically not going to get into what I want to get into until next week. But we need to look and see what he's talking about when it talks about the heads, the horns, and all of these things. You do remember this, though. This is the Antichrist, the one you've heard about probably most of your life. All of you have heard about him. And this is he. This is the beast. God is telling us many, many things about him. And what we're going to do next week, we're going to go back into the book of Daniel. And we're going to look at some things back there that will help us to understand him. See, I do want you to understand. I want you to have a concern in your heart about what's going on in America right now, because all of those things that are going on now is preparing for the tribulation period and the great deceptions it's going to have now. Hearts are being deceived right now. People have let off their doctrines. And the multitudes in America are following a New Age type teaching. That's all preparing for the tribulation period, when all of these deceptions are truly going to be poured out and people's just going to fall into them and believe them. Satanic worship is in America. Okay? It's there. And people are worshiping Satan, believing in him. And worship. That's what the Bible says. And you say, well, it's not widespread. It will be. It will be. And I'm, again, saying to you, I'm going to stand as a voice as long as God gives me a voice, an ability to do so. I'm going to stand as a voice that stands against liberalism of any kind. And I'm going to stand for truth, and I'm going to stand for the standards of the Bible, the Word of God, no matter what anybody else does. Now, I know you want that too. I mean, I believe that in your heart. Most of you out here want that. I believe that. Or you wouldn't be at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You'd be somewhere else. But I do believe you want that. But regardless whether you would want it or not, I'm still going to do it. And you ought to take the same stand. No matter who around me doesn't want it, we're going to stand for the Bible. You ought to stand with your preacher, with the Bible, Word of God, first of all, and you ought to stand with your preacher that preaches the Bible. You ought to stand with him. Yes. Amen. And you ought not to be talking about him. You ought not to be ridiculing. You ought not to let anybody else do it. Right. Now, if you can find some biblical reason to do that, then you need to come see me, not someone else. Right. Correct? Yes. Sure. So what I'm saying that for is, I'm just a man. Amen. But I want to tell you something. I'm going to stand for the Bible. I've stood for the Bible for 29 years now, preaching it. Been saved longer than that, but preaching it for 29 years now. And I'm not going to get off of it. If you think I'm going to turn back now, how foolish. Amen. So we're just not going to do it. Amen. So what I'm saying is, stand fast, folk. And you better fasten your seat belts, because the ride is going to get rough in these last days. But that's all right. We've got a wonderful Savior who loves you and I so much. Amen. And it's through his strength that we'll be able to stand, not ours. When I said I'm going to stand on the Bible, not because Bob Ross is going to stand, but because of the grace of God, I can stand. No other reason. I'd fall if it wasn't for his grace and his strength and his mercy. You understand that? I would fall. You would too. But you stand on the Bible, the Word of God, and any around you that doesn't want to stand there, don't hesitate to correct them. Don't hesitate. Anybody in our church that doesn't want to stand on the Bible, the Word of God, they need help. Certainly they need prayed for, but they need also help from the Scriptures. Correct? Sure. So let's just stand on the Bible. Amen. Let's be faithful to the Word of God. Father, thank you again for your wonderful love and kindness. Thank you for who you are. Thank you, Lord, for your strength. And Lord, all that you do for us. Thank you for loving us, caring for us, meeting the needs of our life. And Lord, help us to stand fast in these last days. We cannot do that without you. Lord, we'd fail, we'd fall, but we need you. We ask you for your power and wisdom. Now, your will be done in the invitation tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.